Well, good morning, Harvest Church family. How's everybody doing today? I see lots of good smiles in the house. Hello to everyone watching on campus and at home online. We're so glad, as always, to come together and worship. So why don't you find some worshiping space and stand up, and if you're able, I'd love to just get our bodies, our minds, our souls, everything just focused on Jesus this morning. Why don't we pray? Just welcome his presence here today. Lord, thank you that we're two or three or more are gathered in your name, that you promised to be in our midst. And so we know that you are here today. I just pray that your presence would stretch out all over this county, all over the world, wherever anyone might be tuning in and watching. We are one body connected, Lord, by your Spirit. And I just thank you for what you're doing in our midst. I pray that you would continue just to meet us as we draw near to you. Would you draw near to us? God, would you lift our weariness? And God, would you just put your yoke upon us that is easy and light today? Thank you that you carry our burdens. You lift our sorrows. You give us joy instead of mourning, and laughter instead of tears. So God, come and be here in our midst. Work in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I sing praises to your name,
honor to your name.
there's no pit too deep or too dark that your love can't find us. Thank you that your presence is here today. Thank you for the price that you paid, that you laid down your life for us in the midst of all of our faults and our failures and our scars. There's nothing that we could do to be good enough, Lord. That we all fall short, that we all are in need of a Savior.
trust in you. We will stand on the rock of Jesus.
Hearts this morning that are weary, that are hurting, that are aching, any bodies that are bruised and broken and need healing. God, would you continue to come and move by your Spirit and power this morning? Would you set our feet upon a rock and put a new song in our hearts? May we be walking, breathing, living testimonies of your faithfulness and of your power. That when people see us, they're like, oh man, something's different about this person. There's just joy radiating from their soul. There's a peace that's beyond my comprehension. How can they go through all they walk through and still have joy and peace in the midst? Because we have a Savior. And if He's for us, who can be against us? God, continue to just put those truths deep in our heart of your amazing grace available to us. Each and every moment of every day. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just wait on Him. Yeah, just soak in His presence. Open your hearts and hands to Him. Just like a gift, He's pouring out His presence on our sons and daughters. There's healing. eyes to see and ears to hear. I want to know more of your love, of your character, more of your word, of your promises. So would you open our hearts to receive all that you have for us this day? It's our heart's desire to be more like you, God, to be a reflection of your love in this world. So would you continue that good work in our hearts today? And we ask all of this in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, so sweet. Such a sweet spirit in the house today. Well, we're going to spread some of that sweet spirit. Just spread his peace this morning to one another. Would you greet someone around you and say hello? We'll have some announcements in just a few moments.
Find a seat, that'd be great. Thank you so much. Hey, I want to welcome everyone who's in the sanctuary and those of you who are in the loft and the patio area and those who are tuning in online. Thank you for being with us. My name's Ron. I'm one of the pastors here, and this is a highlight of the service, the announcements. Right. Yes. So today is a special day for many reasons. One is it's Family Sunday. So Family Sunday we do every fourth Sunday of the month. And the purpose is to kind of get families together, worship together. So kids that are first grade and up will be with mom and dad, sitting in with them in the service. And if you have children younger than that, we do have classes available for them. And then in addition, another highlight of today is the fact that it is Communion Sunday. And so when you came in to all the different venues, there were some communion elements there, and you may have grabbed one already. If you didn't, one of the ushers will come around when we get to communion part of the service, and you can grab one then, and we're going to have communion together as well. But the other reason today is amazing is because it's Donut Sunday. So if you head up the driveway to the Info Center area, you're going to find a whole bunch of donuts. So help yourself, And because we all need healthy food in our lives, don't we? Yes, we do. By the way, everything I'm mentioning right now, this morning, you're going to find on our website, on our Harvest app, and also at the Info Center. If you want to talk to somebody face-to-face about anything that's going on, feel free to go up to the Info Center, and they'll be there to help you out. Easter's coming up. So Easter is one of those things that happens every year. So unlike Christmas, Christmas is always on December, what is it? December 25th, that's right. So Easter changes. The date just kind of moves around. And so I'm never really sure what month or day or all, but it's this year. April 4th, thank you. So April 4th this year is Easter. So what we're doing, a little different because of COVID and things, we're actually having Easter right here on the premises. It's going to be one service. It's going to be at 10 o'clock. And we're going to be outside. Everybody's going to be outside up at the upper parking lot area. We're going to be setting up a big stage. We're going to have live band out there. We're going to be doing baptisms. And so if there's somebody that, if you want to get baptized or someone that you know, then let us know. You can either send us an email, stop by the info table. You can sign up, and we will contact you and meet with you about getting baptized. And then in addition, we're going to be setting up about 600 chairs up there. All right, so with that, we're going to be needing help. You'll be hearing about this. Going to be needing help to do setup and cleanup and just different things, greeting and things for the service. So Easter is one of those annual times of year where it's a great time to invite people that don't normally come to church. And you know how some people, when you invite them to church, they're like worried that the roof is going to cave in on them? So this is an outdoor service. So they're not to worry about that. Although there are some eucalyptus trees kind of close by. So that might be a concern, but invite friends, family, those who you know really would benefit from an Easter service. So there's some other things going on. I'll just make mention of a few of them. There's a golfing group that's going to be gathering at Cypress Ridge next Sunday at 1 o'clock. Stop by Info Center. They'll let you know about that. There's a Good Yarn Club, so that they're going to be gathering March 13th at 5 o'clock. And there's a men's event coming up. It's the M6 evening gathering. It's kind of been put on hold through COVID, but now it's starting up again. So the date on that is March 15th, and it's going to be out at Thousand Hills Ranch, where it's always been in the past. So, guys, I would encourage you to take, you know, the opportunity to get involved in that. All right, so the last thing I want to make mention of this morning is, so throughout this year, on the fourth Sunday of every month, Family Sunday, we're having a new missionary come. So these are missionaries that we support. We've supported. So this morning, in fact, Darren, go ahead and make your way up. Let's welcome Darren. This is Darren Johnson. So Darren Johnson is from Child Evangelism Fellowship, and he's my baby brother in Christ. Yes, yes. So we've been supporting, Harvest Church has been supporting financially and prayerfully CEF for many, many years. So you might be familiar with the Good News Club. So they're under the umbrella of Child Evangelism Fellowship. So Darren's here with us this morning, going to share a little bit about the ministry. He's got a table set up outside. If you want more info, go talk to him. And Darren, really happy to have you with us today.
All right. Hey, thank you so much. Proof once more that good things come in small packages. We're close enough where I can tease you, right? Okay, good. All right. So we just want to thank you guys so much. You've been such a blessing to this ministry and all the kids it reaches. And a lot of you know we were in over two-thirds of the elementary schools before this whole COVID thing came down the pike. And we are just pivoting and scrambling to do our very best to reach kids right where they're at. So right now we have 20 clubs going, 11 of them are online and 9 are in person, and we're just setting up in parks, church parking lots, wherever we can to reach these kids. But one thing I just want to mention, you know, this is a hard time, especially for kids. It's a hard time for everybody, you know, no matter where you're at and how things should be handled. We all know that, you know, it's rattled a lot of people, and there's a lot of fear going on in the world right now, a lot of confusion. And if you think about what that looks like from a child's perspective, you know, they're looking at the people that normally have it all together for them, their security. Even though we know we're supposed to get our security from God, you know, kids do draw that from their parents and adults, and they're looking at their parents and they're seeing them nervous and confused, and that just kind of feeds into their lives in a pretty big way. So you know, I was kind of reminded of this. I've got a little 5-year-old daughter, you know, and she just asked me point blank one day. She goes, "Dad, are you scared of COVID?" I thought, oh, whoa, like, I never told her that. But, you know, she could pick up on things because her life is very different now. You know, kids are being told, you can't go to the park. You can't go to school. You can't go to the water park or the play structure or all these things they're normally used to doing. And for a child like my daughter, who's 5, you think about what a percentage of that life this whole corona confusion has been over her, right? She's 5. I mean, this has been going on for like 1.5 years, and probably about 2 years back is as far as she can really remember. So this is pretty much her normal at this point. So there's kids that just are growing up with this, and we have this huge need and opportunity to anchor them to what really matters, right? God, His truth, eternal things, that their hope, I mean, once our hope is in this world, we're in big trouble, aren't we? Our hope has to be in Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that will be able to get us into heaven or to have, give us a hope in this world. There's nothing else that can really make us secure. So that's our mission, is to take that message of hope to the kids. We're so thankful for your partnership in that, and we just appreciate all you guys do. A lot of you have gotten involved over the years, and we'd love to keep that going. And just please feel free to come by and talk with me if you have any questions. I've got a great little tool I'd love to hand out to you guys. I wished I realized after my daughter said that I should sit down with her and go over this, because it's just a little, you know, a little booklet to go on a child's level to take them through, hey, you know, why is the world confusing? Where does our hope really lie? Help them know they don't have to be alone, right? God will go through everything with us, and he loves you. He'll help you through whatever challenge you're facing. So thank you guys for your support and partnership, and please keep us in prayer. We are excited about what God has opened the door to us to do, even amidst these challenging times, but we're never satisfied, right? We want to keep reaching every child and make sure the gospel is going out to all of them. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Darren. Appreciate you coming and sharing for us. Hey, my name is Jeremy. I'm the youth and family pastor here at Harvest Church. And Pastor Steve is headed back from his stepmom's memorial service in Colorado, so he's not with us this morning, so he asked me to step up. And so I get to open up the Word of God with you. We'll be in Acts chapter 14 today. But I really appreciate what Darren is doing in the schools and what that ministry is doing. You know, a number of years ago, when my family and I were living in Santa Barbara, I interviewed for the director position of CEF down there, and actually came up and met Darren and shouted him for a day. And it's just amazing the door that the Lord has opened in the schools. Even during COVID, I know things have changed, but they've shifted to adjust for those things. But God has an amazing thing happening in the life of our students. And I may have shared this with you before, you may have heard this, but I think it's worth repeating. You know, D.L. Moody came back from a revival, and they asked him, well, how'd it go? You know, how many people were saved? And his response was 2.5. And that was met with kind of a blank stare. What do you mean 2.5? You mean 2 adults and a child? And he said, no, 2 children and an adult. And he said, when you save a child, you save a life. A whole life. And that's why I believe in student ministry is like the utmost importance. Whether you're in schools, whether you're here at church, it is so important. And, you know, those pouring into the life of the youth are making a change to a life, a whole life. And it's not an insult to those who are older when they come to Christ, but God, because God is calling you to walk with Him no matter how long you have walked in your own path. He's calling you to join Him in His path. So the encouragement is parents, grandparents, keep the course, keep loving on these students, keep teaching them the truth. And that is what we're going to discuss today, is the truth in our culture and really to beware of the poison. As I was preparing this week, and you know, I got asked on Wednesday, Steve asked if I was able to share today, and he said, hey, it'd be really cool to get some testimonies of some youth students. to come up. And so I approached a few students on Wednesday and said, hey, would you be willing to come and give your testimony on Sunday? And it was met with like this deer in the headlight look, like, oh, that's only a few days away. I don't know if I can do that. And two, the response that I got was, I don't really have a testimony. I don't have this kind of crazy story. And I think often in our minds, a testimony is when God's turned us away from crazy, gnarly stuff, and then we've walked with him. But what about the testimony of a simple walk of obedience to God and his word? What about that testimony? And these students, as you give your life to the Lord and as you walk with him, I look at the adults out here, think of the pain and the suffering and the struggle that you'll be saved from if you just simply walk with the Lord. That's an amazing testimony, to simply walk with the Lord. Can I get an amen on that one? All right. Let me pray, and then I'm going to jump in. Lord, you are on the move, Lord. And despite what our culture, despite what the things that are around us, Lord, we trust in you. We trust in the truth from your word. Lord, will you speak to us this morning? Will you reveal our condition, Lord? And will you show us who you are, Lord, and what you came to do? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me tell you a little bit about my youth. Now, had you told me I would have a job in public speaking when I was in grade school, I would have ran away from my life. Like, public speaking was never on my radar. It was the worst thing. It was the last thing in the world I wanted to do, because I was pretty much a nerd, okay? Our family, genetics, we had bad eyesight, okay? So you can imagine Jeremy with glasses. And in fact, my brother's eyesight was a little bad. I'm going to throw him under the bus. He was getting really bad grades at school, so the teacher said, well, maybe Brian needs to sit in the front of school. And so he sat in the front of class, and that helped. And then the teacher thought, man, he's still struggling. He's a bright, smart kid. What's going on? So she said, hey, you should talk to my parents. Well, you should have his eyes checked out. So sure enough, he goes to the eye doctor, and his eyes were bad. So he gets a pair of glasses, and he goes into the classroom, and he looks up, and he's like, oh, I never knew the flag had stars on it. Poor kid, right? That's the eyesight that I have. And at one point in my youth, I was actually given bifocals to wear. Like, they like not the hidden bifocals, but the ones with the lines, you know? And so you can only imagine how much flack I got from other students. So I was that kid. I was never the cool kid. I was that kid. And I grew up in a really loving, awesome family. And, you know, we had a pet dog. But being the firstborn, wanting to have responsibility, I thought, man, I want to have my own animals or my own things to take care of. And I looked around different animals, like turtles, whatever, and I narrowed the search down to ants. I wanted one of those ant farms. You remember those ant farms? How cool are those little ant farms? Like, you know, like you get to observe the ants and what they're doing underground in those tunnels and how strong they are. They can lift up heavy things and move things around, and it was pretty easy to care for, so ants made the perfect thing. And I would take little droplets and add drops of water, and I would add their food as necessary. But you just got to observe these things. Well, one day I returned after being out of the house, and I looked and I said, huh, what is that little thing in my ant farm? I don't recognize that. And I could see that the ants were very attracted to it, and they were starting to bite off little pieces and take it down into their tunnels. And they were dying. I was like, what's that weird? So I got tweezers, pulled that thing out of there, and I started asking around, and sure enough, my brother had snuck in and put ant poison into my ant farm. And my ants were dying, so how do I stop this? Like, do I yell at them, my little ant farm, stop eating the poison, don't do it, it's going to hurt you. It tastes good, I know, but don't do it. I as a human, I can't yell down to my ants, so what do? I want to become an ant so I can tell my ants, don't eat the poison. Now, before you really get mad at me, my brother, for poisoning my ants, that's actually just a story, okay? I made that story up. I never had an ant farm. My brother never poisoned them. But it speaks to something true. There's this poison that's been inserted into our lives. And what do we do with it? Poison can come in many different ways, many different attractive packaging. Some poison makes us feel good. Some poison looks fun. Some poison everyone else has taken, so why don't we? Some poison makes us feel better about ourselves. And I came to this passage of scripture in Acts chapter 14, and this is actually where we were on Wednesday night. How to do with that story? Did I, okay? All right. I repeated the story. They heard it on Wednesday. So I said, shh. So Acts chapter 14, let's check it out. It's Paul and Barnabas' first missionary trip, their first missionary journey. And they come to this town of Iconium. Now it says in Acts chapter 14, verse 1, it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. Verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. The work was happening. Paul and Barnabas were having an amazing ministry that it was stirring up the whole town. And so then the unbelieving Jews, then snuck in and began to poison the minds of the Gentiles. They began to insert something other than the truth, other than the word of God. So what was that poison for them? Doesn't specifically say, but I believe it's this works-based religion, Judaism. They wanted Judaism to flow back into the church. And they were against what Paul and his message. That is a works-based religion. It wasn't the gospel. It wasn't the gospel based on grace, by faith. And so if that was their poison, what is the poison that we can take in as well? What is the poison that we can take in as well? Same, right? That poisonous message is still around, that we can add to what Jesus did on the cross. That when Jesus said, tetelestai, it is finished on the cross, that it wasn't actually done. I have to be a good person to earn my way. I have to do this or that. That is still some of the poison that flows in our culture. One of the things I hear a lot about now is my truth. Have you heard the claim, my truth? That the truth no longer, there's not a truth, there's not one truth, there's multiple truths. And you can come to a conversation, well, that conflicts with my truth. See, my truth says this. Oh, but my truth, no. And there's this battle for truth in our culture, in our world. One of the things I think plaguing the youth too is, hey, just go try everything first and see if you like it, see if it sticks. Go try everything first, as if it won't harm you the rest of your life. What about being young and dumb? That's like one of the things going around. It's a poison. It will hurt you the rest of your life because choices that you make now can affect you the rest of your life. What about our culture where socialism and communism is becoming praised in our culture? It's being taught in our schools of critical theory and cultural Marxism, or where companies, big tech companies, have the ability to monitor what we and I read and how we get our news and all these things of just the censorship. And the truth, I feel, is getting harder and harder to find. Big pharmaceutical companies are making millions, if not billions, on telling us how our health and what we need to do. One of the lies in our culture is there's more than two genders. When God said, let there be male and female, man and woman, that wasn't it. We have to have more genders now. The lies of Jesus isn't returning and so much more. There's so much that's being attacked in our culture, and I often ask the question, how much poison is too much? And what do we do when we find this poison that's kind of come into our thoughts and our heads and our culture? What do we do? This is what Paul and Barnabas did. Verse 3. It says, therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. What was the antidote in their day? It was the truth, the word of God, the word of his grace. That was the serum, the antivenom. It was the word of God, or the logos, the truth. You know, as we continue, you know, we've always been marching towards the end times. 2,000 years, we've always been more. But you start to read Jesus' words about end time deception. You start to look at the book of Revelation, you realize that deception is only going to get harder and harder, so it makes truth all the more important. Verse 4 says, but the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostle. And that's the truth, that truth divides, and it's a hard message in today's culture. Truth divides. The gospel brings division. Only read about in Matthew chapter 10 how Jesus talks about even that division can come into homes and families between loved ones. One of my favorite statements in the Bible, favorite words in the Bible are, but God. Because we look at what's happening around us, we look at the culture, we look at the situations, we go, oh my, what is happening? What is going on? What can be done? And yet we read, but God. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. It really looked really, really dark for us, but God. And I want to say that God is on the move in the life of our youth, and that's what I'm so excited to share with you this morning. You know, you think of different youths in the time of the Bible. Think about the youth in the time of when Daniel was living. These young men were taken out of their homeland and placed in a very dark, idolatrous, poisonous culture in Babylon. And the things that surrounded them and their friends and the pressures. And yet Daniel and his friends, even in their youth, were able to recognize the poison and abstain from those things. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Meat and drink that were offered to idols, to fake gods, he said, he didn't ask the question, how much can I have and still be okay? And if I just have once a week, twice a week, he didn't say that. He said, I don't want any of that thing. I don't want any of that. So impressed by Daniel, and I asked, I wonder if I would have, what I would have been like, I think we all do, what if we wouldn't like if we had been dropped in that culture? Daniel had the thought, like, he could have said, well, you know, God abandoned me, so I'm going to do what feels good to me. He could have said, well, there's no parents around, so I'll do what I want. He could have said, new location, I'm going to live my best life ever. But he didn't. He said, no, I don't want any of it, even at a cost, because he knew the truth. And this poison in our life comes so often in the form of idols as well. Idols, I would define as things that we prop up to look at, to save us, to look for help in our situations. Acts chapter 14, verse 15, Paul would say those things are useless things. We could think of a list of the different idols that we have in our culture, the idolatry that goes on. We don't have those little things on our shelf any longer, but we have these icons or statuses around us of money, wealth. Hey, those things are going to save me. If everything goes south in our economy, the money that I got in my bank account, that's going to save me. We look to different political parties to save us. We look for self, for health. We have often, so often, put comfort and safety as an idol on our shelf, if you think about it. Comfort and safety. What about status or appearance or success or business? Can we put others on that place? Can we lift them up? Maybe it's a spouse, a boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe a prospective boyfriend or girlfriend. What about different public figures? Can we put them in a place in our lives to speak into us or to idolize? What about sports, actors, musicians? You know, I hope I'm not taking this out of context, but Billie Eilish, right? That's how you say her name? Okay, I got it wrong on Wednesday. Totally got it wrong. in a commercial for her documentary that was coming out, she is at a concert of young fans who really idolize her, who put her in this place because of the words, her lyrics, and they put her in this place of like, oh man, I just got to come and relate to her words. And she says this to her concert. She says, hey, you guys need to be okay because you are the reason that I'm okay. Think about the young people that are going to listen to her concert and saying, okay, I relate to her songs, I relate to her music, I feel good when I listen to her stuff. Makes me feel good about myself. And then they go to a concert and the person who's singing these songs, who wrote these words, says, well, I'm going to be okay, but only if you're okay. So if you're not okay, then I'm not okay. It's dangerous what we lift up in our culture. So if that is the poison that's around us, what is the remedy to that poison? And what do we do? Well, it's the truth. Not a truth. Not my truth, right? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Steve has been asking a question all month and made me think about this morning. He says, the question was, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do today? My encouragement was look at Ephesians 6. What does Ephesians 6 say? It says, put on the full armor of God. What is the first bit of armor that God asks us to put on? The belt of truth. It all starts with truth. What is truth? Because as we look around and we see all this craziness in our culture, Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these powers, against these principalities, right? Tim Mackey would say that humanity's real problem is not merely another human. It's the spiritual powers that animate our cultural idols, that inspire hatred, division, and violence. Those are the things that we have to put on our armor for. Were Adam and Eve wearing their armor in the garden when the lies came against them? When the deceiver came up and began to speak these words about the truth? Genesis 3, verse 4 says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He brought the lie to Adam and Eve in the garden saying, well, God's actually withholding. God's actually not good. He's withholding something good from you. Even though man and woman were created to be image bearers, right? Made in the image of God. Even though they were image bearers, he said, no, God's still holding something back. And actually, this, I can offer you what God's holding back, and that's the knowledge of good and evil. And you can actually elevate your status. You can actually become something greater than what God has called you to be by eating of this tree of the fruit. He said, you will be like God. And that is the basis of the foundation of evolution, that we were created to be something and then we can somehow elevate ourselves beyond that. What would humanity be like if we were not living out the effects of that choice there in the garden? Jesus in the wilderness, that same deceiver, that same usurper, that same serpent came and spoke to Jesus out in the wilderness, tempting him as well. That Jesus could have sustenance outside of God, that glory without the crown of thorns, that there could be a kingdom without the cross. Through all the lies, all the poison that Satan brought before Jesus. And Jesus, every time he used the word, he used the truth. Matthew records Jesus saying every time, it is written. He always went back to that foundation of it is written. And we have to go back to that foundation. You know, Luke chapter 6 talks about a man building a house who had to dig deep and go all the way to the foundation. He had to place that foundation on the rock. And that foundation is what was he had to build his house on, he had to build his life on, and that when storms came, that house wouldn't move because it was on the rock. And that is hard work, to dig down until you get to the rock. But we have to stand on that rock. So I believe God is on the move. And let me say that even stronger. I know God is on the move because I've seen it in our youth. You know, it's crazy as you look around what the internet has done to the global youth community. All of a sudden, all the youth around the world, because of the internet, are being influenced by the same musicians, the same social media influencers, by these same things, and they're all coming together, and it's often not for good, but I can tell you what is happening here in our Five Cities area, in our Harvest Youth Group. Let me tell you quickly about that. Harvest Core started a couple weeks ago, and we started for those students who want to go a little bit deeper in their faith. And we started by taking an A.W. Tozer, Knowledge of the Holy, a book that I read in college 20 years ago, and we started by taking that book and then going into these discussion groups. So the students go home, they have their own book, they read a couple chapters, and then every other week we discuss those chapters. And the conversations, the discussions that we have in those rooms are amazing. You know, I bought 25 books thinking, okay, this is a step of faith, thinking that 25 students are going to want to read A.W. Tozer and discuss it. You know what? There's 25 students. And there was more students that wanted to come. They just had sports and other activities. So it's amazing to see that these students are wanting to press in and pursue God. And it was a phenomenal conversation. I'm looking forward that to go for continually. Do you know Harvest Gathering, our Wednesday night youth groups? We have between 50 and 60 students each week show up here. Sometimes a couple weeks we've even had over 70. Students that want to meet in person, they want to fellowship. They want to hang out with their friends. They want to play a few fun activities, games. And then we have worship bands, student-led worship bands that come up and lead the other students in worship. And it is phenomenal. We have 3 worship bands. We have to rotate each week. These students are leading each other in worship. And then I get up and say, hey, open up your Bibles. And we go verse by verse through a book of the Bible. We started out in the book of John, and now we're working our way through Acts. And it is phenomenal because they listen to me for 20 to 25 minutes. That's amazing, right? And on a Wednesday night. And there's a hunger. I see this hunger for the truth. There is a hunger for our truth in our generation. The other question that Steve's been asking, his second question, was, what do you want to do through me today? What do you want to do through me today? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ. And God's calling us to speak the truth in love. You know, I started out this conversation, this message about truth, by lying to you, right? By lying about my ant farm. Somebody pointed out the irony of that between services. You start out a message about truth by lying. I see how it is, Jeremy. But like my pretend little ant farm, you can't yell down on those poor, sick little ants. God calls us to go down. I mean, Jesus ultimately was the one who came down to our condition. And if the bridge between us and ants is this much, the bridge between God and man is infinitely more. And he came to speak the truth in love to a hurting and lost world. And as we transition now into a time of communion, I see these communion cups as the truth serum. So if you did not get a cup yet, you can raise your hand and the ushers and greeters can pass out some cups. Let me pray while those are passed out. Heavenly Father, in a culture that is anti-God, anti-truth. We pray that your truth would just flood us, would just invade us, Lord. Of your love for us, of your coming to earth to die for us, Lord, and that you paid the ultimate price with your body so you can welcome us into your kingdom. Pray that the truth would speak and sink down deep into our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It says verses actually after Paul gives the communion verses, he says this. He says, therefore, whoever eats of this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood, the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So before we partake, let's take this next song to really dwell on what poison have we partaken of? What poison have we allowed into our hearts and our minds? Are there any lies that we believe? Was it like Iconium where morality and works have entered into us? We pray that the Holy Spirit right now would just reveal those things to you. And after the first song, we'll take of the drink and the cup.
We all stand together as we worship. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph.
Delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So together, let's take of the bread. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's drink. Thank you, Lord.
Son of
Soak in for just a moment that you belong. There's a place for you. There's a place for you here. There's a place for you in God's kingdom, in your Father's house. For those who felt like outcasts all their lives, like you never fit in, like something's wrong with you, the Lord says, you belong. I've chosen you. I've called you by name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we belong to you. Pray, Lord, that all this week that we would be reminded of these truths again and again that we've heard today, that they would take root deep in our hearts and bear good fruit. God, that we would love people with your kind of love, that we would be examples of hope in a world that's feeling pretty hopeless right now in so many ways. Would Would you shine through us? May people know we're Christians by our love. We want to reflect you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence here with us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. If anyone would like prayer this morning, we would love to pray with you. If you want to head on towards the front, we'll have some volunteers and staff that would love to come alongside you. Have a wonderful day. Say hello to someone. Grab a donut if there's any left. Have some more coffee. And we'll see you again next Sunday. Bye to everyone watching online. We'll see you real soon.